Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's get into the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, we're in a series, it's called Harvest. And my subject today is, so what? That's S-O-W, what? And I'm going to teach you how to sow or things you're going to sow. It's going to be an interesting lesson, but we just have a few verses we want to pick up on that'll help us understand that God has some very, very strong purposes for us to accomplish as we go through life. And so in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, I'll read the verse and the responding ones will be for you. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. He who sows to his flesh, of his flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 10 together. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, today we're celebrating several things, but the most important thing we're celebrating is that we have an opportunity every day of our life to sow. And Lord, we've been talking about harvest, but today we're going to go a step further to find out what exactly are we sowing. Lord, there's no such thing as being negative, but there's a thing about it that we, every day of our life, as we speak, as we go about, as we give amongst people, Lord, there's something that's happening. Lord, I pray that the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit would overtake us, would ambush us, would surround us with a desire to sow only the things of your kingdom. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. We praise you for all these things. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. It's interesting that, I don't know whether you've been out on the or seen various places, various stores, and such. There's a lot of strawberries this year. A lot of them. I don't know if you don't like strawberries, you're not saved. Just so I let you know. But I mean, there's huge, massive strawberries around here. But it's because of all that rain we got before, you know, although we endured. But after a while, we found out that it did produce something worthwhile. I want to spend some time with you today talking about sowing some things. Now, how many of you, when you came in today, got something like this? Hold it up. If you've got a seed packet. How many of you did not get one? You know what? You weren't supposed to. Ha, ha, ha. It was on purpose. And one of the things about it, I want to start off this message with this very idea, is that we can assume certain things, but the idea that when we get something that is given to us, it's of no real value unless we're really ready to put it to use. We're going to talk about this a little bit further as we get into the message. But I don't want you to feel badly about this, but there's something we're going to learn today about what things are being sowed or being sown into our lives. Let me get quickly to three questions. First of all, are you witnessing things happening in your life that have taken you by surprise? If you are, I don't think you're in touch with reality. Because if it's happening in your life, there's something that has been sown into your life that you may be reaping the result of. Now, we'll get into more details in just a moment. Let me move on to question number two. Are you frantically searching for ways or means to thwart a bad crop of fruit that is about to manifest as a result of your disobedience? Ever knew something that you said that you didn't want other people to find out about? So how do I stop this particular thing? Well, I'll tell you what, the internet will beat you. There used to be a time when they didn't have Facebook, but it's in place now. And you can do something and within, you know, a matter of moments, somebody can blast on the internet and your life is over. But I don't want to get to the negative aspect of it. I believe that the positive aspect is there's some things that we can set in motion now, but we need to realize there's a timetable that God has. Number three, would you embrace an opportunity to sow righteousness or righteous seed to bring forth a harvest that would glorify the Lord? That's really what it's really all about. We're going to launch into a particular place. It says, you'll be known by the fruit that your life is producing. In Luke chapter 6, verses 38 and then 43 through 45. Here we go. Given and will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That means that somehow you can't blame somebody else for what's going on in your life. You sowed something, and it's coming back to you. Any of you remember that stupid song they had back in, I don't know whether it was the 60s, or My Boomerang Won't Come Back? Anybody remember that song? See, I can go back and pick up all kinds of songs, and you folks say, where did he get that from? I lived a long time. That's how I get all this stuff. All right, verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. If nothing else, God wants to clean up your heart so your mouth can speak the things he wants you to speak. I can't do that for you, but the Holy Spirit is available to do that. So you'll be known by the fruit that your life produces. In other words, the first part of our life focus on giving or putting forth effort will produce life in us and those around us. In other words, you should intentionally be doing things to produce life in other people. Can I ask you a question? How do you talk? I mean, what do you mean? Do I talk English? No, how do you talk? Because if we were to monitor some of the things we say during the daytime, oftentimes we would find ourselves falling prey to negative language. Bible tells us, Jesus exhorts us, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if there's a lot of things coming out of your mouth, it must be what's in your heart. And God wants to really do some work in all of us to get our heart in the right place. Well, what about this? We will never experience a harvest of good unless we have sown something good. How is it that you want great things to happen in your life and you really haven't sown anything for that to occur? I really believe that some things that God sowed, even in this ministry, and everything hasn't been perfect, but there's some good things that came out of New Song in the last 40 years. Some good things. Part of them are you and the things that God has done in your life. But what about this? Every day of our life, we are sowing seeds that will produce something. Everybody say something. What will your life produce today? Those of you who have seed packets, I want you to hold them up right now. Hold them up high before people can see them. Now, don't say, neener, 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 I got one you didn't. Don't do that. That's not. We're going to read the back of this, and it's going to tell you some things about sowing seed. First of all, it tells you the days it takes to germinate. In other words, when you sow a seed, it doesn't automatically produce something. You got to wait for it gets in the ground, but it takes a while for it to produce something. And I think one of the things that happens in our lives is that sometimes we aren't willing to wait on God for things to happen. We just go get ahead of things. Well, it's our germination spirit. But here's the part I really like about this. And I brought two packets up here. First, it says depth to sow. This one says 1 to 2 inches. This one says 1/4 inch. Whoa. In other words, some things take a little bit more soil than others. Some random, arbitrary, not thought out thing that you say, that you said that just popped off, can go into somebody's soil and sow a crop. So I didn't really intend it that way, but it came out of your mouth. And it's starting to sow to a harvest. We'll come back to these things in a minute because we're going to use them all through our message. For every action that we put forth, there will be a response. That means we must be intentional about the things that we sow with our mouth. The occurrence is, our speech should always reflect our relationship with Jesus and his kingdom. Did you hear that word, always? What about the times when I just kind of just want to just go off into a tangent? And I know sarcasm, some of us are slaves to sarcasm. He said, oh, I didn't really mean that. Well, you took it the wrong way. How about sowing things the right way, intentionally? How about being intentional about the things that would produce for righteousness, peace, and joy? Well, you say, well, I don't, come on, we can have a little bit of fun. But you know what? Unfortunately, we use that as an excuse for bad behavior. And some of us are known for that. Whatever, what about this? Our words determine our destiny and will affect the destiny of those around us. I don't want to vilify anyone. I had a pretty wonderful life when I think about the wonderful things that my parents taught me when I was a kid. And last night, I did something. And it was the first time since I graduated from high school. I went to a class reunion. Can you imagine? 53 years after the crime was settled, I went to a class reunion. And it was so interesting that I go there and I'm thinking, there's people there. My age, there was only a few. There was five. But I sat through this class reunion, but all of a sudden, without even trying to, I went back through history over things that happened, over things that were said. Some of them could have destroyed my life. But you know who brought me through all that? Jesus did. I remember my first day at Benson High School. I graduated from Benson. I know, don't hold against me. I brought my Bible to school. And it was probably a couple pounds bigger. And call me not knowing what's going on. So I'm bringing this, and so, what'd you bring that to school for? You know what I told him? I said, to read it. Now, you talk about something, we're talking about in the 60s. You know, the God is dead type, God is dead, and this type of thing. He hadn't even been sick, but God was dead. You know, tune in, turn on, drop out. Timothy Leary was in California. Patchouli oil was in. Daisy's on your Volkswagen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That was back in the day. But I remember I took my Bible to school, and I was all excited about this. I had it tucked under me. And I took more ridicule for bringing my Bible. And you know, that almost took me out. But now, I remember that there was something that greater that was in me that caused me to bring that Bible to school. And you know, it never left me through high school, into college, and to this very day. That's always been the most important thing in my life. I want to say some things to you folks that sometimes get discouraged about the things people have said to you that could have stopped you from being the person that you are today. God is faithful and will take you through all those types of situations, but our speech should always reflect the relationship with Jesus. Our words should determine our destiny. The way we and the amount of what we give will determine what we reap as a result. The first scripture said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be given unto you. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured out to you in return. My question is, what have you sown? And what's the harvest going to look like? Look at it from this perspective. We set the standard of quality, quantity, and value to the things we sow in life, which means this. Those seeds that are planted are small. When they're left in fertile ground, they will produce a harvest much bigger than what has been planted. Let me open this little package here. This is pepper, Spanish variety. Yeah, I like hot things. I like a little spicy pepper. Let's see what kind of seed we got in here. Okay, opening it up. Here we go. Well, do it the right way. I was trying to be nice. Lord have mercy. That's it. That is supposed to produce this. How's it going to happen? Well, it says, when I plant this a quarter inch in the ground, I'm supposed to space these 18 inches apart. There aren't even 18 of them in the package. Let me count real quick. Whoa, 5, 10, 15. There's 21. And in rows, 24 to 26 inches. Lord have mercy. I don't even remember where they went. And then it tells me it's going to take 70 to 75 days before I'll see a harvest. Let me tell you what. Forget about it. And you know what? That's exactly what we do. It's too small. It's too long. It's not deep enough. Forget about it. And that's the reason why the harvest of souls is not happening in the kingdom, because we think it's too small, it's too long, it's too hard to wait it out. I got me another package. I love string beans, fresh ones. But don't put them in the pot naked. Find you some ham hocks. Hey, a little bit of onion. Saute them for a while. Smother them there with your string beans. They're wonderful. You can put butter on them if you want to, but if you want to really have something. Oh, 7 to 14 days. 1 to 2 inches. Let's see here. Spacing 3 inches apart. Now this is a little bit better. Can you see those? A lot better. We're more attracted to something like this because we can actually see it. And we see it has potential. Those little things I threw on the ground and said, little bitty thing, forget about that. In rows 3 feet apart, 3 inches spacing. Well, I can actually do that. 40 days till harvest. Looking pretty good. I think I'll keep these around a while. We'll get back to them in a minute. Here we go. We set a standard of quality and quantity. The seeds are planted are small. They're left in the fertile ground to produce a harvest much bigger than what they're planted. They set the standard of return of quality, quantity, and quality that we sow in life. Oh, I meant to tell you something about these here. Oh, these string beans? Well, it says that harvest beans all seasons by sowing every 2 weeks until 2 months before frost. And it says, when seedlings have leaves, I can plant them 3 inches. Well, it says it will keep producing for a long period of time. What kind of seed are you sowing? Well, we must sow in the right spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I say to you then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. In other words, I can blame someone else because I'm doing things a little bit askew? Or is it because of what I've sown in my life that I've got myself off track and can't do the things that God wants me to do? Number one question, did you follow the instructions? What was the first instruction? How deep are you going to sow? Some of you don't even know that sometimes God says, in order for you to get a crop that you need, you're going to have to go a lot deeper than you want to go. Walking in the Spirit is a choice to make, to sow things that will produce life in us and in those around us. Not just in you, but in the people around you. Walking in the Spirit is you walk in such a manner that people are saying, how did you make it through that trial, through that tribulation? Anybody else would have fallen apart. He says, well, you know, I was going through that trial, but you know what? I wasn't going through it alone. Jesus was walking with me. That's when you're walking in the Spirit. In the flesh, you will complain, you'll cry, you'll moan, you'll get all types of different, you're trying to look for other solutions, but when you're walking in the Spirit, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. All the days of my appointed time, this was Joseph, I will wait until my change comes. That's walking in the Spirit, folks. That's the amazing thing that God wants us to be able to do. Well, simply said, walking in the Spirit will produce those things that we should produce. The struggle between the flesh and the Spirit is overcome by those who walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is our conscious choice not to seek to gratify the flesh. It amazes me when people say, well, it happened again. What are you talking about, it happened again? Why don't you say, I did it again, not it happened again. It is not a thing. Did is something what you did. Or here's the one I love. I don't know what happened. If you don't know, who does? You have gone back to the primary things we used to do. You remember when, you know, who took the last cookie? I don't know what happened. I don't know. Why didn't you clean up your room? I don't know. Why don't you say, Mama, I was lazy. I didn't want to clean up my room. That's why it's not clean. Oh, no, I don't know. You got to stop playing crazy and take responsibility. Somebody say amen. Because it's so true. Let's talk about walking in the Spirit. It's simply making a decision to plant seeds that will yield a harvest of righteous living and behavior. How's that work? Our attitudes are a reflection of the thoughts and ideas that we have sown and allowed space to be occupied in us. Can I get real practical with you? Do not expect to walk in the Spirit and not read the Word every day. That's legalism. No, that's a good exercise of faith. If you believe in Jesus, you'll want to learn more about him every single day. That'll be a priority on your list. So don't plan on walking in the Spirit when you have not seen time to spend in the Spirit to be nurtured, the Spirit of God that's within you. The second thing is no big revelation. If you're not talking to Jesus every day or all day long, how are you going to walk in the Spirit when you're not getting instruction from him? What about this? If you're receiving promptings from the Holy Spirit and you're disobeying them, how are you going to walk in the Spirit? He says, don't go there. Well, I know I shouldn't go there, but you know, I just feel like going there. Very intelligent decision. Okay. We must allow the Holy Spirit to constantly monitor our attitude about things in this life, and our character will be refined as we're led by the Spirit. Let me move on quickly. We should desire to sow a bountiful harvest for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say them also? What he's talking about here, they're talking about people who want to sow bountifully and want to receive something. There's a whole process that we must go through. And it means that there's sacrifice that we should be willing to give. Well, if we want to sow, God loves people who are cheerful about giving. Does anybody know anything about that? Amen. He loves people who are very much into the fact of responding to the things that he's saying to us. And so I'm going to go, there's another scripture that goes right with this. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, we urge you, as Titus, to urge you, so that he would complete this grace. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, obedience, love, and love for us, that you abound in this grace also. What is he talking about here? Is the idea of really sowing with intent. That means this. God loves people, and I think we've taken this in context but out of context. God loves people who are cheerful givers. Did nobody say amen? Amen. That'll tell you right now. I got a rough road ahead of me. Jesus, help me plow through here. I got some stony-hearted folks here today, but somehow you're going to let your spirit break through all this stuff. I got some hard ground, some fallow ground, but Lord, break it up by your spirit in Jesus' name. No, God loves joyful, generous, loving people, which means we must embrace an attitude toward giving that does not encompass money. Because the first thing you do is you go to your bank account when I talk about cheerful giving. You ain't gonna get no more of my money. I paid my tithe and I'm done, okay? Paid my dues. This is not a club, in case you're wondering. I gave my 10% and that's all I'm gonna give up. Well, we must change our mindset to sowing as a supreme method of giving. We don't give, we sow. I'm going to say it again. We don't give, we sow. This isn't, and when I say sowing, it's not the fact, well, you know, God is obligated to give all these things to me. But no, it's a matter of fact that we do this because it's right, but our heart and attitude toward what we give will determine about the return that God allows us to receive. Well, when we sow something of value, we reap something of value. Kindness, forgiveness, honor. You know why people don't like you? I'm going to tell you why people don't like you. Are you ready for this? Because you're mean. You're dismissive. You don't even pay attention to other folks. You say, oh, well, whatever, and you just kind of move on. You know what you sowed? You sowed a spirit of contention where you don't really focus on who you're talking to. You've moved on to the next person while you're still having the conversation with the first one. This is more than etiquette. It's the fact of, what are you sowing to people? I believe that God can help us if we learn how to sow in the same way that he's sown to us. Well, we receive, what we receive will depend on our value system. Now, seed packet people, hold up your seeds right now. All right, look at it real quickly. I'm going to ask you, I want you to answer this question honestly. Do you like the packet of seeds that you have? It's yes or no. Anybody, no, be honest. Somebody say no, I like honest people. You don't like those, good. Anybody else can say no? So Cheryl, what'd you get? Four. You don't like that, good. Somebody else, what'd you get? Hot peppers. She ain't into hot peppers. No. Anybody else get something you didn't like? What you got, baby?
I got hot peppers.
Yeah, you don't like that. But they're too hot for you, that's right. But you know what? What about sowing it for somebody else other than you? Ever enter your mind? That's our problem. We think everything we get is for us. But you know what? You might have a seed you're planting for somebody else to get a benefit out of your labor, out of your time, out of your watering, out of your harvesting. It's not about you. Here's another thing. Some of you are going to have to work harder than the other people in order to get a harvest. But just take it. Just imagine that I was the Lord that gave that to you. I'm going to say, God, I ain't into this. Can I get an exchange, please? God knows what he's, that's the reason why I had the ushers pass them out and I didn't pass them out. I don't want you to be mad at me. Talk to the ushers. They're the ones that chumped you today. They're just following in obedience what I told them to do. But I'll tell you what, you got what you're supposed to get. Now I'm going to tell you something else. Some of you who got those seeds, you said, well, that was just an illustration. You'll throw them away in the trash can when you leave. Yes, you will. It was just an illustration. Or there'll be some of you who say, you know what? I want to see what'll happen if I put some diligence to what's been given to me. But others of you have an excuse. I don't got no place to sew. I live in an apartment. We'll find all kind of reasons not to use what we've been given. But I need to tell you, it didn't cost you anything. It was given to you. And a lot of the things we've been given, we've just kind of thrown it aside, done nothing with it. And God sometimes will hold us accountable for the things we've been given that you just didn't like. Oh my. You see, I wish I was the person that didn't get a package. I'm almost done. You can receive healing later. Cheerful giving has very little to do with monetary giving. We must always look at giving from a sower's perspective, which means when we sow a seed, we can expect a harvest, but we do not know when, how much, or what will be the end result. He said, between so many days and so many days. I remember one time I was living over on Siskiyou Street, and I decided I want to grow mustard greens. Anybody have mustard greens? Hot water cornbread? Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Anyway, I planted mustard greens in my backyard. Did I look at the package? No. But I put them in nice, coated up. I found out later on, mustard greens need sunlight. They do not grow in the shade. So I go out there after about a week or two, and I go out there, what is wrong with these greens? Ain't done nothing. So, you know, like a good farmer, I put more water on them. I baptized them in Jesus' name. Need a little more water? You know what I did them greens? I drowned them greens. Because they was not going to grow till you brought some sunlight into the situation. Do not blame God for a harvest if you didn't handle the seed the right way. Follow the instructions and you'll get a harvest. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, we're going to finish this up real quickly because I know you got your mind on that cake he told you about. God bless you with your carnal self. What we receive in the harvest is tied directly to our original intent when we first got this seed. And that means we must decipher and discover the difference between need and greed. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Do not evaluate what you have now based upon what somebody else got. Wow. We will never go bankrupt sowing into the things of God. I don't know how this works, but I know it does. That when you are generous and you do what God tells you to do, somehow he works it out. He just does. The Lord totally understands what we have need of and will increase the fruits of righteousness in our life. Well, people who sow sparingly often do not do so out of fear of the future. The Bible says, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. You know, I think I got some money here. Yeah. There's a dollar. Anybody who wants it, go pick it up. It's yours. I'm serious. You want a dollar? Go get it. There you go. Linda, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Let's see. There's $20. That's right. A dollar, I could get one. And the rest of you is just I know what he's up to now. But I'll tell you what. What we see and with the potential what we see will get our eye. And I said, all of a sudden, it's not so inconvenient to get up out of your seat. He said, well, that's gas money for all week long. What is wrong with me? I want to tell you, it's the fact that God is the one who sows in those particular people. You know, I don't want my money back. Enjoy yourself, you know. Jesus' name. No. I really mean that. Let me get to the conclusion here, because we got to close here real soon. And when we are sowing, we said sowing things to our flesh, we will mirror the same return. You know why you can't get your life together? Because when you sow to your flesh, it's obvious. And we see it. Fear will keep us from engaging and sowing beyond what we believe is possible return on investment. This last little place. And I love the scripture. I found it. We will always get back more than we sow, good or bad. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. This is a great scripture. They sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce a meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. You know, you sowed and sowed and sowed, and all you got is a reaction to what you sowed. And what that simply means is this: if we sow something that has no value, we will reap empty pockets. Or how about this? If we sow to the wind or breath coming out of our mouth, we will reap a hurricane. That's a reaction. There are some things that we will sow into, not expecting a boomerang of trouble in return. Ever went someplace, there'll be no problem. It's nothing going to happen, and it's the worst day of your life. The worst day of your life. Oh, it's perfect. Just harmless fun. We're just going to get together with a few folks. And you knew you shouldn't have gone in the first place, and it was the worst day you've ever had? Some of you have erased it from your memory. I can refresh it if you like. Oh, come on, go here. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden, you know, it got crazy real quick. And folks started doing, I didn't realize it was going to be like this. And you realize you never should have gone. Every act of sin we commit will have a result in our life. And I remember Steve Kinney was the person who first used this. But Warren Wiersbe was the one who made this quote. He says, sin will take you farther than you intended to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. Farther, longer, more. How about this? Harvest comes to those willing to wait. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. I've used this scripture many times at memorial services, and it proves true that sometimes when you sow something, notice what it says there, you cast your bread on the water, or you just throw it out there, but you don't know what's going to happen. He says, it will return to you after many days. It doesn't tell you how long. Our problem is waiting for the return. But he says, and for you will find it after many days. Doesn't tell you how many years. It could be 2 days. It could be, you know, the latter part of your life. But here's the deal, I would tell you. You must first cast a seed out upon the ground in faith. Secondly, there will return to you in many days not defined. And our job is to be obedient, to do the one thing that we can do, and that is to take the seed and sow it. Worship team, you can come back up here, and we're just about done. We must abide by the principles that are set forth in sowing seed. What does that mean? First of all, we will reap according to what we've sown. Don't try to debate it. It's a fact. We will reap more than what we've sown. Because remember, my little seeds up here that I'm going to sow? I'll plant these in the ground, and there's a very good possibility I'll get two or three crops of string beans out of these few little seeds. Because they'll germinate and they'll be caught in the air and they'll reap even more seeds or fruit from that. How about this? We must not allow time to take away our joy and anticipation for harvest. Galatians 6:9, one more time. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. As I close today, I want to talk to you people that are weary. Maybe some of you have lost heart. Maybe some of you have given up. Or maybe some of you haven't started on the journey. Let's not lose heart. For we'll reap if we don't faint. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to close this service with a thought of something that's really dear to me. In our journey as a church, when we had our first meeting over at the Lloyd Center, which is now the DoubleTree Hotel, I can honestly say I was a frightened young pastor. First time I've ever been a head pastor in my life. And I was petrified over the idea of failing God, failing people. And the weary part of it was, I told some of you the story, I'll tell it real quickly, that my wife was expecting our first child and all kind of different stuff. And if anybody could look inside of my heart, I never told anybody. But I was literally frightened to death. Except for one thing, God came alongside of me and says, you know what? Don't become weary in well-doing. You'll reap if you faint not. Have I done everything perfect? Absolutely not. I grieve today over the mistakes I've made, the heartache maybe I've caused other people, or I have caused other people. But the reaping, if we faint not, is the fact that when we just turn it over to Jesus after we've failed, he'll restore you again. I believe there are people in this audience today who maybe would go along with me and say, you know, Pastor, I started out kind of walking with Jesus, and today, if I'm honest, I'm not walking with him anymore, or I'm just kind of on the sidelines because I've been overtaken by a situation or by sin. And I want to come back and be a part of what God's doing. This prayer is for you. There's also people that are looking for something genuine in the church, and you've indicted the church because you feel like there's a lot of hypocrisy and things have gone on. But I want you to put that aside. I want you to just stop for a moment and say, what is Jesus saying to you? There's something that God's planted within you that just doesn't go away, that he somehow has invested in you. A heart to really want to love people, to help people. And today you're just one prayer of repentance away from re-embarking on the journey to be all that God wants you to be. The last group of folks is simply this. You're looking for significance. You're looking for someone to believe in. and for that someone to believe in you. All three of those people I'm praying for right now. I'm going to pray, and then at the end of my prayer, I'm going to ask you to respond to what Jesus is doing today. God, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for seeing me through my fears over and over and over again. Lord, thank you for healing the backsliding of my heart and my spirit. And Lord, I can offer that to people that are here today. Lord, there's another group of people here today that feels like they're not worthy of your grace, of your forgiveness, because they've wandered off the path that they once knew. Lord, would you restore them today? Would you bring them to this altar to let them know that you're not angry with them, that you can restore them? And then lastly, God, for those that are here today, that for the very first time they can find a person called Jesus that they can give their life over to and really trust him to put their lives together again. If any of those categories you identify with, I want you to lift your hand right now. Say, yep, Pastor, that's me. I need to do that today. Just lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.